Now, the epistle appointed to be read today for the 25th and last Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, and all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. In the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and nurse in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now. Neither shall be, unless those days had been shortened. No flesh should be saved, but for the sake of the elect those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him, for there shall also arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and with a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable, and when the branch thereof is now tender and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. "That you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to begin by telling you a true story that took place in the early centuries of the Church. The story is about a Catholic bishop and a Catholic Roman magistrate and ruler. And the bishop was John, the Patriarch of Alexandria, Egypt, while the Roman magistrate was Nicetas Patricius, the chief magistrate of the city. And one day, the patriarch and the magistrate came to a disagreement over a matter concerning money. It was a very serious disagreement. So serious was the disagreement and dispute that it seemed inevitable that the matter would go to court. And I have to tell you, my dear friends, I know of far too many families, some even among certain Catholic people, who have serious disputes and disagreements about money, so serious that their families are divided. Among the many things which St. Paul instructed St. Timothy, whom he consecrated Bishop of Ephesus, was the fact that money is indeed the root of all evil. And by this, St. Paul means that an inordinate and excessive attachment to money brings about envy, jealousy, anger, quarreling, division, hatred, and in certain most extraordinary cases, even murder. But before the matter went to court, the patriarch and the chief magistrate were prevailed upon to meet again and to come to terms. The day and the time were fixed, and the meeting took place. The discussion ensued, and in no time became very heated. Neither thought it right to give up his claim, writes the priest who tells this story. And thus, this contest of words, he says, lasted to a very late hour in the afternoon, with no other result than that their feelings were somewhat more hostile than before. And since, therefore, neither was disposed to yield to the terms of the other, they withdrew, leaving their dispute doubtful and undecided. Patricius thought it was wrong to give up his title to the money. The patriarch believed that he was upholding the cause of God. But it was not long after that very day that the magistrate Patricius began to reproach himself for his obstinacy, saying to himself, "Do not think that even in the best cause this inflexible stubbornness and anger is pleasing to God." Even now, Patricius thought to himself, night is fast approaching. Shall we thus allow the sun to go down upon our anger? For this is the conduct of wicked men. And this, Patricius concluded to himself, is contrary to the precept of the apostle. Now, by contrary to the precept of the apostle, Patricius was referring to St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, where the apostle wrote in the 4th chapter, "Let not the sun go down upon your anger." And by these words, St. Paul sought to teach Christians that the cause of anger should be removed, and the offense given should be repaired as soon as possible. But while Patricius was reproaching himself, the bishop too began to consider the consequences of his words and actions. Despite the lateness of the hour, he sent several of his priests to Patricius with the message, "Sir, the sun is now setting." The message was given to the imperial magistrate with the result that his inordinate and sinful stubbornness was overcome. Nor did Patricius delay in repairing the wrong done until the following day. That very evening he accompanied the priests and hastened to see his bishop. When the two men met, Patricius immediately spoke these words, "Holy Father, hereafter I shall be subject to your authority." Both men repented of the anger and bitterness that they had held in their hearts and had displayed towards each other. And the priest who recorded this story concluded, "Thus peace, which a long discussion in words could not bring, was restored by this one word. The sun is now setting." My dear friends, today's epistle is related to the gospel. In the epistle, St. Paul begins by telling us we must walk worthy of God. We must be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And by these words, the apostle means very simply that we are here on earth to do the work of God. And the work of God is the saving of our immortal souls for heaven. We must thus use our time here on earth wisely, so that we may indeed save our souls. For in the gospel, our Lord speaks of his return at the end of the world. He warns all men that on the last day he shall come back to this earth. He shall return to judge the living and the dead. He shall return to judge all men, all nations, and all societies. On the last day when he returns, the world will end. And the general judgment shall take place. But before the general judgment, my dear friends, our divine Savior already returns, as it were, to this world. He comes to each and every individual person upon his or her death. He comes to render what is called the particular judgment. And as we do not know when the end of the world and the general judgment will take place, so we do not know when our own death, which is practically speaking the end of the world for us, and when our particular judgment will take place. But what we do know, my dear people, with an absolute certitude, is that these things will happen. It's only a matter of time. Sooner or later, our lives will come to an end, just as each day that passes comes to an end. Death is the end of our lives, just as night is the end of the day. And the thought of this moved the Roman magistrate Patricius to repent of his anger and to reconcile with John, the bishop of Alexandria, even as the bishop, though he knew he was right, still he was moved as well to put aside all bitterness and to reconcile with Patricius. "Just so," writes a certain priest, "if anyone is conscious to himself of mortal sin, Let him frequently reflect within himself at evening. The sun is hastening to its setting, and perhaps my life as well. And if you should die this night, the priest writes, a happening neither strange nor rare. And what kind of an eternity do you think you will be? That of the saints or that of the condemned? Attend therefore, he says, attend therefore to what you are doing now. The sun is hastening towards its setting. Let it not set upon your lust, your envy, your detraction, your theft, your anger. No, let not the sun even set, he concludes, upon even one mortal sin. We too, my dear friends, should often reflect in a reasonable manner that sooner or later our life will end, just as a day ends into night. And if our hearts are filled with anger and bitterness towards this person or that person, how we must now have a change of heart and reconcile, forgiving others who have offended us, not holding grudges against others, or seeking the forgiveness of others. Or God forbid, if we should be in the state of mortal sin, how we should sincerely repent now, asking God's forgiveness, making a firm purpose of amendment, which means, my dear friends, changing our lives now by removing from them and from our homes all proximate occasions of mortal sin and going to confession. For God forbid that anyone should die in the state of unrepented mortal sin. They will live forever in an eternal night of darkness and torment that is truly beyond description. If we have not, my dear friends, walked worthy of God, as St. Paul says in today's epistle, that is, if we have neglected the work of saving our souls, of putting our soul salvation first and foremost, if we have neglected this by seeking the passing or even the sinful things of the world as if we were created for these things, let us now use the time that God has given to us to work out our eternal salvation. For time is too precious. Once it goes, it is gone for good. And God has given us now, He has given us today to work out our salvation. He has not promised anyone tomorrow. Let us then, my dear friends, use our time wisely as we begin to prepare for another celebration of Christmas, the anniversary of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, even as we look to the end of the world and the second coming of Christ. Love God then more than anything or anyone in this world. Pray to Our Lady every day, who is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Live your lives in the state of grace and have confidence, and the love and the mercy of the Sacred Heart of the Divine Infant Jesus. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.